Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see all of you here today. Every year on this day, preachers stand before their congregations and try to bring words of hope regarding the resurrection. Well, I'm going to do something a little bit different this morning. I'm not going to preach. Now, you might be saying, great, some of you might be saying that, but I got a special PowerPoint presentation that I want to show you. So right now I want to draw your attentions to the screens. I hope you know that was coming. For those who are listening on the internet, I just had a slide come up that says April Fools. But it is a rare occasion that Easter falls on this date that we call April Fool's Day. This is only the 11th time it's happened since the year 1700. The last time was 1956. I was 2 years old. Don't count, I'm 64. So what is a fool? The dictionary defines a fool as someone who is unwise or silly or one who is tricked or deceived. I have read many statements that what we and millions around the globe celebrate today is foolish. The other day, I read the last words of a renowned physicist, Stephen Hawking. He said, in essence, the brain is like a computer and mine is shutting down. I don't believe in the afterlife. It is nothing but fairy tales. For many, they only want to believe what they can physically see, touch, and analyze for themselves. You see, God has always reached outside just the physical. He wants us to realize the spiritual. This event we celebrate today is not just some phenomenon. It's not just some made-up story dreamed up by some writers. What has transpired over these 3 days that we remember has literally changed the world. Think about that. No other event has created such change in world history and remained constant. Conquerors have tried conquering. Philosophers have explored the human mind for answers to life. Various religions have tried to conjure up some sort of pathway to God. And even though these kind of events have caused some shifts in history, despite all the wisdom that man can muster, there is one event, this event that we celebrate today, that remains constant. Why? Because God reaches in where all other quests for human understanding fall short: the human heart. No other event can make such a claim. No other event has such prophetic and historical data to back it up that dates back to the beginning of mankind. This event is unique. It is a miracle, which makes it difficult for many to wrap their thoughts around. It is, in fact, the single hope that mankind has been waiting for and has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. What is that hope? That hope is finding what makes us complete. That hope is fulfilling the yearning of every human being. Who am I? That hope is the understanding that no matter who you are, you're special. That's what Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples just before his arrest. He was having that last supper with them, and Jesus asked the question, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" And that single question resonates through the whole week. In fact, it is the question that God has been asking through the entire history of mankind. Do you understand what I've done for you? There's only a few ways to answer that question. Yes, I understand. I've received it. I have it. Yes, I know it happened, but I don't understand why. I want to believe, but I'm having a hard time with it, or I just don't believe any of this stuff even happened. Or maybe you're somewhere in between all that. So let's try to answer the question. To understand what Jesus has done, let's look at the historical facts, just a couple of them. We know that there was multiple prophecies in the Old Testament that led to the coming of the Messiah. We know that Jesus did come into this world. We know that he chose several disciples to become close friends and followers over a 3-year period. We know that he performed many miracles in the course of his earthly ministry. All these are documented historical facts of Jesus' life, both in Scripture and other Jewish documents. Then we come to this week. This is a special Passover meal that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. He tells them, "I'm going to die." He said, "See this bread that I have?" And he breaks it. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this wine, drink it. Remember that my blood was shed for you." Why? Not only is there the historical memory of the Passover meal in Egypt as death passed over them, now there is a new covenant. Eternal death will pass over all who receive him. We enter into Holy Communion for that reason, to remember what he has done for us. Then comes Friday. There's no doubt Jesus died on that cross. There was a flogging, the crucifixion, the piercing in the side, and that separation of water and blood is medical evidence that he died. When Jesus gave up his spirit, he died. So there is a meal, there's a crucifixion and death, all documented and witnessed. But here comes the really great part. You see, up to this point, it's not too hard for most people to accept that. But we now come to the tomb. It is the tomb that brings difficulty for many. The other day, I caught the movie Risen on TV. It was in theaters last year. It's a movie that depicts what might have gone on behind the scenes as the Romans discover that for themselves, that the tomb was empty. A Roman tribune is assigned the task to find the body, but of course he can't, and soon comes to the realization why he can't. That rolled away stone created chaos, and that was the purpose of it being rolled away. Remember, it wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so people could get in. That stone was rolled away so you and I and the whole world could know that he is resurrected. Jesus was popping in out of everywhere after his resurrection. He didn't need the stone moved. We did. And as those women looked in, and as those disciples later came and looked in, Jesus is not there. And we hear those familiar words from the angel, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And another piece of that, in other parts of Scripture, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen." Now let's go back to the question. Do you understand what I've done for you? Why doesn't that sink in for many? Why is it so hard for many to believe? Well, death is permanent, right? It would be foolish to believe such a thing. No person in their right mind would believe a thing like that, people say. But Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, God chose the foolish things in the world to shame the wise. In other words, the simple truth and nature of God is so far beyond our wisdom. We can think we have it all figured out, and God comes along and just rocks our world with his truth. The other day I had a great example, at least I think so. I was sitting in our den thinking about this sermon and praying about it, and as I was looking out the window of the front of our house, and there was clouds passing by. Now, if I were rushing to get ready and saw that, I might say, "Oh, it's going to be a cloudy day." Or if that cloud was gray and full of water, I might say, "Well, I better get my umbrella before I leave because it's going to rain." But then I went and stepped out the front door, and that was the only cloud in the sky. but it was the only thing that I was seeing out my window. You see, we look at our little window of life and only see one perspective of reality. But when we step into God's truth, a whole new perspective opens up to us. God's perspective of life is so much bigger than we can even imagine. So much more to reveal. So much more to experience. But the only way to really experience God's perspective to its fullest is to open the door that was given to us. Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said that. And when we step through that door, comes understanding. Through that door comes revelation of truth. Through that door comes true relationship with the Father. When many look at that empty tomb, they don't see a resurrection. They're looking through a small window. They see corruption, conspiracy. They don't see a miracle as prophesied and revealed through God's window. They see death as permanent. They see a stolen body. They see guards. They say the guards took it or the disciples took it. Neither makes sense. Would the Romans really want rumors of a resurrection going around? Would the disciples be willing to die for a hoax? But then Jesus begins to reveal something else. He reveals himself, not just to his disciples, but to 500 plus people. This is not a hoax. This is not a conspiracy. Jesus was alive and he has risen. This was a new beginning. This changes everything. It changes previous doubts. It changes previous fears. It changes hearts. It changes history. It changes lives. It changed my life in 1976. If you've ever experienced Christ in your life, it can change yours as well. It wasn't just a mindset that I had when I just said on one Saturday morning that year that, oh, I think I'll follow Christ today. When I received him into my life, something happened. It was heart-gripping. Again, no other event has ever taken place like this. No other so-called God can claim or accomplish what Jesus has done. So Jesus either died on that cross and took our sins for the whole world, or he did nothing. We are here in this place today because Jesus accomplished what he said he was going to do. We and people all around the world today are recognizing the very same thing. Why? Listen to this, because this is important. Because we understand what Jesus has done. We know because we have experienced his transformation. We know because we have experienced his incredible love. We know because we have experienced the power of his Spirit in our lives. It is because of that experience that I can stand before you, and many of us can stand and shout from the rooftops, "Jesus loves you." And here's the hope that we have today. Remember those categories that we all fall under. You either know Christ, you don't, or you want to know, or you have no idea. All of us have or had places in our hearts that need to be opened. We have locked those places in a tomb, so to speak. I want to tell you, no matter what hurt you may be harboring, no matter what sin you think is unforgivable, no matter what you have hidden down inside your heart, God is in the tomb opening business. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. No matter what category you fall in, he wants you to grow in him. He wants to change your life. He wants each of us, every one of us, to experience the change that he brought into the world. Because each day is precious. Each day brings new hope. Each day brings another opportunity. Peter said in our reading in Acts, "We are witnesses of everything he did, and that witness continues in the lives of all who receive them." These band of men who scattered in fear for their lives and were lost in their turmoil over Jesus' death experienced new life just a short time after that. Jesus changed everything for them. No more hiding who they were. No more fear of telling others about Jesus. No more turmoil over the issues of a loving God. Because the one true loving God came to us and lived among us, died for us, and he is risen. They witnessed not only what they saw, but they are witnesses to the life-changing relationship they now have in Christ. Today, everyone in this room has either experienced new life or they have not. On this special day, on this day when we celebrate the risen Lord, I close with this. God loves you. He loves you so much that he was willing to die for you. He was willing to pay the price that none of us could ever pay, death on the cross, so we might have eternal life with him. He has opened the door that not only just to experience what we can physically see, but to experience the reality of God in our lives, walking in his wisdom. If you have not done so, I invite you to ask him into your heart. If you have, I ask that you seek a deeper walk. Expect the Spirit of the risen Lord to move more and more in your life in a new and exciting way. I ask again, do you understand what Jesus has done for you? It took only 3 days to change the world. It only takes a few minutes to change your life and set a path of growth in the Lord that will last for an eternity. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, you are just so magnificent that you came into our lives and you want to come into our lives. And so, Father, if there's anybody here today who's never really experienced that, maybe their heart is pounding right now and wanting to really know you, Father, I ask that you would just ask them to receive you as Lord and Savior. That's all it takes, just to confess that I'm a sinner and I need you in my life. And Lord, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. From this day forth, I want to walk with you and be guided by you. I want to experience all that you have for me. I want to step through that door and see all that you have for me, not just the windows that I look out. So Father, I ask that you would move in every heart here. As we step out of this place today, we will be just walking with you and willing to share the good news with others as well, to know that they can have the reality of a living, loving God in their lives as well. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for this day of celebration. We thank you for all that you mean to us and want to continue to do through us. So Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would receive these prayers. And if anyone did say yes today, we ask, Lord, that you would just help them to grow more and more. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.